Amen. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you this morning for your great love that's truly higher than the mountain. All-sufficient grace for even me. Lord, your love is incomprehensible, but yet it is the very thing we must depend on for our very existence and life itself. And so we thank you, Father, this morning for your great love wherewith you loved us. And we pray as we open your word now and dig in that our hearts would be tuned to respond with selfless, abandoned love in return to you. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I want to look at actually a fairly long passage in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're not going to cover very thoroughly the majority of that passage, but it's all important in context for the section that we do want to cover. So I'm going to start out here in verse 11. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. And I'm not sure here what Paul is referencing. He says it's a faithful saying, and he goes on to say something that to them at the time was a saying that they heard and said among themselves. I don't know if this was potentially a quote from a song that they sang or a quote from one of the apostles' writings that we don't have record of, but here he's referencing something that they're used to hearing said. And he says in verse 11, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11, "It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting or deceiving of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet or fitted, useful for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes, and the Spirit of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive of him at his will." Interesting how he phrases this in verse 25. He says, in meekness instructing or teaching those who oppose themselves. And so many times, all around us in our our day and age, and I think in every day and age, we see those who are opposing themselves. They don't realize it, but they're stating things that totally oppose what they're trying to hold and what they're trying to teach. But he says in meekness that we are to be instructing them and helping them to see. Not belligerently like, oh, you're so stupid, can't you see that you're walking all over what you just said. But in meekness, instructing them, helping them to see. He says, if God, peradventure, maybe, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves or come to their senses, is another phrase you could use there, out of the snare of the devil. But I want to start back at the start here, where we started in verse 11, and look at as we go down through here. And this morning, my focus that I want to focus in on is really in verse 20 and 21. What kind of a vessel am I? What kind of a vessel are you? He says, in a great house, which I believe is an allegory or an analogy here of the church, the body of believers, the worldwide. He says, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Not every vessel, not every person is going to be used in the same sort of a way. He says, but there's an option here. There's a better way. You don't have to be a little vessel of wood and or clay that's not bringing glory to the one who made it and who's using it. He says, but if a man purge himself, therefore, from these what? So let's look back and see, what is it that he says here? If a man purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. What are these things which we as vessels, or another word you might think of is containers. So it would be any type of a thing in a household that is used for a purpose. In particular, containing something, being used to transport something, to give something. You might think of like a pitcher that's used to pour water for someone who's thirsty. You might think of a pot that's used to cook a meal, to feed the hungry. You might think of multiple different types of vessels or utensils that are used in a household. And here he says, in a great household, there's many different types of vessels, and some of them are being used for purposes that are so much more valuable, so much more useful to the master. And some of them, it appears, are not even being useful at all to the master. They're simply collecting dust. But if a man purge himself from these, what are these? I think if we look back, we see in verse 14, he instructs them, charging them or challenging them, instructing them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. I think that's one of the things that he's calling on us to purge ourselves of. Striving about words to no profit. Just arguing for argument's sake. Just simply carrying on in debate and discussion over things that really aren't that valuable and important. And we see this tearing apart the church in our day across the world. We see men and women who name the name of Christ who cannot hardly bear to look at each other or to sit together or to have any respect for one another because of something that is really of so little importance. Striving about words to no profit. And he says that the end of that is, or can be, the ruin, the subverting of the hearers, the ruin, the deceiving, the bringing to futility the work that God was trying to do in a life, because we can get so bound up in the larger body of Christ, fighting back and forth about things of no value. And this is one of the things that I think, the first thing that I see here in the list of things that he calls us and challenges us to purge ourselves of. Striving about words to no profit. And along with that, the warning that it can subvert or bring to ruin God's work in the life of the hearers. How many times with sorrow I've seen this. Young believers, those who haven't yet come to Christ, being deceived, being dissuaded, being discouraged from pursuing God or from seeking Him fully because of seeing how we as Christians so often fight and argue and carry on between ourselves. And we see so many people in our day and age who say, well, I don't want to be part of that. Look at the way they can't even get along. Look at the way that they fight and they argue and they're splits and splinters. And it's not. Christ said His disciples would be known by their love for one another. And you and I here are called, no, charged before the Lord to purge ourselves of this. Charge them before the Lord. This is of high importance to the Apostle Paul. Charge them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit. Moving on down, we see in verse 16, he says, but shun profane and vain babblings. Shun, this would be like doing away with, not having anything to do with it, hating it. This would be the same type of a word that said about Job that he eschewed evil. He hated it. He wouldn't touch it. He had nothing to do with it. He wasn't allowing it to be attractive to him. He wasn't partaking in it. And here he says, shun profane. That would be obvious things. That would be the things that are obviously filthy and lawless and against God. But then he says also vain, which would just simply be worthless, empty, babblings. This would be just constant going on about things of no value, similar to what we just read in verse 14. Striving about words to no profit, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. They will increase unto more ungodliness. We as believers are called upon here to purge ourselves of these things, that we might be a vessel to honor, fitted for the Master's use. Useful. Something that Christ Jesus can take and use to accomplish His work in this world where we live. Something that Jesus Christ can take and use to serve someone in need. Use to bless a heart that's struggling. Use to encourage one that's depressed or downtrodden or that's having a hard time. God wants to use you and I to show forth His character to those around us, the saved and the unsaved. But if you and I are all bound up in all these other things, taking our time and our attention and our energy, we're not going to be ready and fitted and prepared for the Master's use. So he says, he challenges them again here to shun these things. This is another thing to purge yourself from. And then, of course, in verse 18, we see those who are erring from the truth, those who are talking about things and teaching things that are against the Word of God. And I believe that we are here called to, again, to not go along with them. to not take part in what they're doing, to not throw in our lot with them, to not become like them, as we are challenged and reminded in Psalm chapter 1, to not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, to not stand in the way of sinners, to not sit in the seat of the scornful, those who would mock and make fun of and belittle the things of God and the things of righteousness and holiness. And here he is reminding them and saying that they shouldn't be going along with and taking part in and being confused by these who are teaching things that are erring from the truth. And then we also see in verse number 19, he says, and departing from iniquity. And that's just a general counsel here. Any type of deviation from God's way, from God's heart, from God's word. He says, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Anything in my life that I know is against God, I should be striving against. Yes, I'm going to have failure. I'm going to have defeat from time to time. I'm not always going to fulfill this perfectly. But my goal, my purpose ought to be to purge myself of these things. He says, everyone that nameth the name of Christ, this is what you should be striving in and striving towards, is to depart from iniquity of every kind. Put an end today to anything in your life that you know is against the Word of God and against His heart. To determine now, right here, I will not have anything to do with that. We give ourselves excuses, don't we? It's so easy to give ourselves excuses to say, well, it's not that big of a thing. But here the Apostle Paul is challenging us and calling us to purge ourselves from these things. Purge ourselves from these things. I believe he continues to expand on this as we look on down below this section as well in verse 22, where he says, flee also youthful lust. That would be any desire that is contrary to God. So not just the doing of it, but the desire for it. Purge yourself from it. Flee from it. Have nothing to do with it. Don't sit and barter with it. Don't sit and try to overcome it. Flee from it. Flee youthful lust, but follow righteousness. Because you can't spend your whole life fleeing. You have to have something to follow. Flee youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Follow after these things. This is part of purging ourselves of these things. Because as we see in the analogy that Jesus gave, if you cast a demon out of a man, and you don't, that spot isn't filled with a different spirit, a time will pass and that evil spirit can come back and take more with him that are worse than himself. And the last state of that man, Jesus said, is worse than the first state, because now he's even worse possessed and even worse controlled and bothered and enslaved by evil spirits. So if you and I spend our lives trying to not be, we're going to end up in a worse condition than where we started. You have to not just don't be conformed to this world, but also be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You can't have an empty void. Your human nature has desires that have to be filled. And you will find something to fill it.
And if you don't fill it with Christ Jesus and with the Word of God, you will fill it with something else. You will. People don't serve themselves. A lot of people think they're their own boss. No one serves themselves. You are serving God or you are serving the devil. No one is a completely autonomous entity. That doesn't exist. Humanity serves either God or the devil. You cannot purge yourself of these things and then just go on living an empty life. Your natural inclination and every fiber of your being will begin to seek for and grasp and take hold of things to put in and fill those holes. Because we as human beings have certain holes in us that have to be filled. And they will be filled by God, or they will be filled by the things of this world. You have to fill this empty void once you purge yourself of those things. Fill that with Christ. Fill it with His Word. Fill it with a love for Him. Fill it with a relationship with Him. You cannot have a void. Science tells us nature hates a vacuum. It will get filled by something. So here he says, flee youthful lusts, flee all those desires for things that are contrary to God's will, and instead fill that space in yourself. Follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. You can't just purge it out. Something else has to fill that place. Something else must fill that place. And he says here that you and I have the opportunity as vessels in this great house in which we have been brought in by redemption, by the blood of Christ. We've been brought into this house of God spiritually, and there are going to be those vessels that sit and never get used. And there are going to be those vessels which end up getting used in ways that are unpleasant. In ways that are, he says here, there's vessels to dishonor. There's vessels to honor and vessels to dishonor. There's not everything is the same in this great house. But if a man purge himself of these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. What a thing for the God of all creation to say about a man. This is a vessel unto honor. Meet, fitted, ready for my use. Don't you desire that? Doesn't your heart stir and yearn within you to have the God of all creation say, this man, this woman, this vessel is ready and I can use it to bring honor and glory to my name. It's ready and fitted for my use. This speaks of a availability on our part. This speaks of an abandonment of my desires and simply, here, Father, I'm yours. Use me how you want. Sanctified and meet for the Master's use and prepared unto every good work. All the things that God would like to use His vessels to accomplish. To reach out in love and compassion and mercy and care. As Christ Jesus did when He walked this earth. We as Christians tend to many times get a very consumer Christianity, consumeristic Christianity, very much like we have as Americans. We're very much consumers. We live in a consumer society. We expect to receive and receive and receive and receive, and we very rarely think about or care about what we are giving back. How we are making ourselves available to be used. And in Christianity, God has purposes and uses that He would like to use His vessels for. But some of them are not fitted. Some of us are not purged to where He can fill us with His goodness to mete out to other people without it being contaminated by all these things that we have already consuming and filling the space inside of us. If I come to find a pitcher to use to give a drink to someone and it's already got dirt in it, I can't use that pitcher to give a drink to someone. Unless I don't like that someone very much. And Christ here and God is looking for and wanting to use His vessels for His uses, for His purposes. And you and I, as those vessels, are called and challenged here by the Apostle Paul to be a vessel prepared, a vessel purged, prepared, ready for our Master to use us how He pleases. You may be a vessel in the house, but are you ready for the Master to use you? Are you purged? Are you staying clean, but not just staying clean, but staying full of Him? So that when He's ready to pour out from your life into someone else, there's something to pour out. You can't pour a drink out of an empty pitcher. Not just cleaned, but filled with Him. And this isn't talking about the more flashy or important looking positions, but the ones perhaps that are closer to our Savior's heart. The purposes and the uses that are dearest to Him. Many times, it's the ones that nobody's ever going to see. It's the caring for a widow who nobody is ever going to know that you took care of her, that you paid her electric bill, that you went and mowed her yard for her. No one's ever going to know that this side of eternity. But Christ Jesus values that very highly. That would be one of those uses that's very dear to His heart. But if I'm so consumed with all these other things, I may not even realize there's a need there. Much less be ready or able to be used by God in that way.
I want to turn on over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, as this has a similar kind of an idea here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 9. He says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building, according to the grace of God which is given unto me. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If a man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. This would be one of those vessels to dishonor. A vessel that was of no profit to its master. Everything that was built was wood, hay, and stubble, and it was consumed. You had the vessels in the house. Did it profit anything? Be careful, because what can happen if you and I are vessels who are not fitted for the master's use, vessels who are building with wood, hay, and stubble, he says back up in 2 Timothy, that we could deceive or subvert those who hear us. We could be like a cancer or a canker that is destroying and detracting and pulling and pushing people away from Christ. Let every man, therefore, the Apostle Paul says, take heed. Wake up, look up, be careful, pay attention to how you're building spiritually. Because you can spend your entire life building with things that are no profit. They will be consumed, and you might be saved. Great. But so as by fire. Everything that I spent my life on, and all of my time and all of my energy, is worthless. What a miserable state to stand before God on that day and have Him say, "Welcome home." Instead of having Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Brothers and sisters, I challenge you this morning to seek pay attention, to take heed, to strive to purge yourself of these things and to be filled with and to seek after all of the other things embodied in Christ Jesus, that you may be a vessel to honor, fitted and meet for your master's use, to bring glory and honor to the God that you serve, to shed forth and spread forth His love, His character, His personality, His sweetness to all those around you. Let's pray. Father, I thank You this morning for Your word and for its clarity. And Father, I pray this morning that You would challenge each one of us and help each one of us to take these things to heart, Lord, that we would take this charge before the Lord Himself, that we would purge ourselves of these things, Lord, that we would be filled with Your goodness, filled with Your presence, filled with Your character, Your love, Your personality, Lord, that we could be a vessel ready, fitted, available to our Master for His uses and His purposes. And Lord, that when we come to the end of this life, we would not be saved yet so as by fire, but that we would be brought before our Master and hear the words, "Well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant." In Jesus' name, amen.